the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. Before I read the Word of God, I want to bring greetings from the Sister Opisto from Jansa. We have already heard in these services that people, more students can attend this Opisto in the future, and I am glad to say that this is the same here in Jämsä, in both our campuses in Jämsä and Maitoinen, and for the coming semester we can accept more students than there was last winter. Regarding the lively course program, I like to highlight one particular point. Last year, peer tutoring program was piloted here in Reisjärvi. We also were able to implement the mentor program in Jämsä, and the experience has been very positive. Unfortunately, our state subsidy decision does not allow that for us, the program in Jämsä, during the next year. Fortunately, here in Reisjärvi we can offer the opportunity to participate in the program to even more students than before. However, we are completely without the short opisto year. But now we are piloting the new version designed for the close relatives of opisto year. We pray to our Heavenly Father that we will bless this. We read from the 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 21 to 26 and verses 36 to 39. Elijah went before people and said, "How long will you wave between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two Baals for us, let Baal's prophet choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bowl and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. They then called on the name of the Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response, no one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trenches. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen. Many years ago, I was abroad in an international seminary. There, during the coffee break, when we were queuing for coffee, one person behind me, a man, unknown to me, he started to speak to me. He greeted and asked in English, "Where and from what nation you are coming from?" I answered that I am from Finland. His next question was very, very, very surprising. His next question was very surprising. I didn't expect it all. He asked, "Are you part of any revival movement?" I was so taken aback that I didn't know how to answer. And instead, I asked him, "Why on earth would you ask me that?" His answer was even more confusing. He said that it is easy to recognize a conservative less than, as we were talking. It turned out that he had been visiting Finland and had spent time at believers' services. And somehow, even though he had never met me before, he still recognized that there was something similar to them who had been at those services that he had attended. I have some other times had deduced from outward appearance that this person is believing. Even without seeing anything in their life that they would ascertain that. But through God's great grace, we have God's peace in our hearts. It's the peace of conscience it shows, and other people are able to recognize is that spell. Dear brothers and sisters, we can confess our faith in many ways. Sometimes simply through our being, through many our life choosings and our way of life, we confess our faith. We also confess our faith with words. Sometimes it is asked from us that if we believe in God or are we believers. And sometimes there might be a circumstance we can have a conversation with someone who is believing differently. And of course we confess our faith when we join in creed in the Mass. Tomorrow we will have a Mass. Tomorrow we will have a Mass, and also on Sunday in those creed we confess our faith in the Triune God. Prophet Elijah, of which this Bible portion tells about, he confessed his way also through his own words. He proclaimed God's word. Oh, surely he also confessed his faith through his life. He also confessed his faith with his own name Elijah. Or on the original language, Eliyahu, it means that my God is Yahweh. Also, my God is God. So his name meant that his God is the Lord. This Bible portion takes us to the history of the Bible, to the times of Prophet Elijah, about 2,900 years ago, about the 8th century before Christ. At that time there was northern kingdom of Israel whose king was Ahab. Other kingdom was more prosperous and bigger. The northern kingdom was more prosperous compared to the southern kingdom. kingdom of Israel. Elijah worked on both Judah and Israel, and but this portion tells about his deeds in the kingdom of Israel. When we reflect on the religious life of that day, during that time in the Middle East, having multiple gods was the norm. There were nations that had many gods, and there were gods that were but the sentiment that there were different gods for different things, so a person could turn to different gods depending of their life circumstances. So there was no demand to worship only one god, but everyone had multiple gods that he served during his lifetime. This was the norm of that time. One of those gods of that time was mentioned here in this passage, Baal, god Baal. Before, in the times of Elijah, Baal had been worshipped for about thousands of years, and even many hundred years after times of Elijah, Baal would be worshipped in the area of Middle East. There were also other gods. Just before this passage, it's talked about the goddess, about Astarte, and many other false gods are mentioned in the Bible. And it's also told that how the nation of Israel and Judah started to worship those false gods of the neighboring countries. Even today, in sermons today, this has been referenced. Brother Janne spoke about how during the travel of exile, Bible tells that how the people of Israel started to worship the golden calf. And Brother Markku spoke about the time before the exile, about to the times of Jeremiah, when the people of Judah worshipped many different false gods. In the book of Jeremiah, it's spoken that there were many more gods than there were towns of Judah. So serving false god wasn't uncommon in the nation of Israel and Judah. It's also worth to mention about Baal. Baal was worshipped as a god of storm and weather. As a god, we could think that he would make the lightning strike the wood and take the offering. This is something we have to take on account when we dig into these passages. At the beginning of this Bible passage, I can mention the Mount Carmel. It's told that it said that Elijah went before the people in Mount Carmel, and in the Old Testament it's spoken about many important mountains. One is Mount Sinai, which is also known as Mount Horeb. And many times it's thought that Mount Sinai is on the southern part of Sinai Isthmus, but we cannot be certain what is the Mount Horeb that is speaking about. Also, there's a Mount of Zion. It is located in Jerusalem, but when we start to study where is this Mount Zion, in different maps of different periods, it's different mountain peaks are named Mount Zion. Also, Mount of Transfiguration is known to us, but there's at least two descriptions of which mountain is this. It's either Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon, so there's not certainty about that. But this Mount Carmel is but about Mount Carmel there are no different opinions where this Mount Carmel is located. Mount Carmel is located in the northern part of Israel, near the Mediterranean coast, near the current city of Haifa. And today, in the peak of above the in the top of Mount Carmel, there's a Carmelite monastery and the tomb of Elijah. So there at the Mount Carmel they had been gathered. Elijah asked the King Ahab to gather people of Israel and also call 450 prophets of Baal and Astarte. But about these prophets of Astarte it's not been spoken about, but about prophets of Baal it's spoken about. Elijah said to the people, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Why didn't people say anything? This is my guess. Bible doesn't tell us. But if we think about this, the religious teaching of today, I just mentioned a bit about it. Because people could serve multiple gods, and there were gods for different situations. And this was the teaching of the prophets of Baal and Astarte. It's quite possible that you can also serve beside Baal and Astarte and other god, you can also serve the God of Israel. It's nothing wrong about that. But Elijah teaching was different. Elijah taught monotheism. He taught that there's only one true God. It's not possible to, if one trusts and believes on this one true God, it is impossible to serve any other God. Maybe this teaching at that time was very foreign to those people. But Elijah continues, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets." And then he proposes to the people, let's try which is the true God. The God Baal that they worshipped, or is this the Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel, the true one true God? Here it's pictured to us about the sacrificial mass, or the one form of sacrificial mass, a burnt offering. It was the most important sacrifice, this burnt offering. In the Old Testament, in many passages, it's pictured how the sacrificial mass had been done. And it yet continued even during the apostolic times. Brother Tapani spoke about how Paul was going to offer sacrifice at the temple. So it was still ongoing during the time of the apostles, before the destruction of the temple. But today, sacrificial worship is very foreign to us, here in Finland at least. But in different places of the world, there are religions that still have worships about sacrificing animals, and even burnt offerings are still in practice. So these kind of practices haven't stopped in the world. So burnt offerings wasn't wrong in itself. It was commanded by God. When it was done to God, it was permitted. But sacrifices to other gods was false worship. But it here's picture to us. Elijah said that, get two bulls for us. Let bulls prophet choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given to them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. In this passage, it's it's shown that the sacrificial animal wasn't, at least in the little bit, most important about which animal was important, because Elijah made the bull, prophets of Baal, to choose the bull. And when we read from how Elijah prepared the sacrifice, so and the preparing of the sacrifice went in the exact same way. So the form of the worship, or the external form of worship, wasn't different between prophets of Baal and Elijah. But what was the difference? The difference was in that on whom they trusted, on whom they shouted for help. If they shouted for Baal, or if they shouted for God to help. So the external worship wasn't much different, and it's not important, and it's not important in the face of the living God, but towards you who you turn in your heart, it's the important. And our portion ends with the prophets of Baal having prepared the sacrifice, and they are waiting for the prophet of Baal, the god of storm and weather, whom we could imagine would be able to strike the offering with lightning. But nothing happens. There's no voice, no answer, even though they do anything, even though they jump and dance around the altar. But our reading skips a couple of verses, but I'd bring something up from this, about these passages that we jump over. But they help us to understand even further what is happening at the end of this Bible portion. In this verse it is told how prophets of Baal continue shouting for Baal so that they come into frenzy, but there's still no voice and no answer, nothing happens. And then Elijah tells people to come to him, and everyone gathers around him. And Elijah prepared the altar that had been made for God, and Elijah prepared it. We can ascertain that there had been already sometime before, there was altar for the Lord that prophets of Baal had destroyed, and now Elijah prepared this altar we live in that time of history when that sacrificial worship hadn't yet been destined only to in the Temple of Jerusalem, but offerings were at that time offered all around the nations of Israel and Judah, so it was in the Mount of Carmel. Elijah prepared the altar. He took 12 stones, as there was 12 stones of in Israel. It's also revealed how he addresses the living God. We remember from the stories of the patriarch about the first book of Moses how patriarch Jacob received a second name of Israel. This is important to remember when we look about the sacrifice done by Elijah. It's also told how Elijah built a trench around the altar and he put the bulls and laid it on the wood, and he told to fill to four large jars with water and pour it on the offering on the wood, and this was done 3 times. And the water ran down around the altar, even filled the trench. So this was the difference between sacrifice of Elijah and the altar. Altar had been soaked wet, and there was even a trench around the altar, and the trench was full of water. And we can everyone understand that dry wood kindles more easily than the wet wood. So from this we can think it was even harder to for the wood to catch on fire on the altar of Elijah. Therefore, it was Elijah's goal to show that for Lord nothing was impossible. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. What is the sacrifice was commanded by God, which was supposed to done at a certain time, and Elijah wanted to wait for that certain time that God has commanded. It's good for us also to ask in our lives that we would be content to wait for the time that God had designed for us. There are many times that when we hope to things to come as soon as possible, but we can trust that God has his time for everything, and be humble and ask that he would give us strength and perseverance to wait for that time that he has set for us. The prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. From the Old Testament is known to us about the saying, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And Elijah calls Lord the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Just the verses we skipped there in the writer said that reminds us that Jacob had received the second name, the name of Israel. So we are speaking about the exact same God as Jacob had worshipped. We can think that when they were living in the nation of Israel, we might think that this is the reason that he uses the name Israel for Jacob. so that they would know that that Yahweh, or Lord, is the God of Israel. This speaking about God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is very, because it carries a promise. It carries promise about that God has promised to be the God of those patriarchs, and he still promises to be God of his people. And when God revealed himself to Abraham, he said to Abraham, I will be God, your God, and your descendants' God. And when God appeared to Isaac, and he said that I am a God, God of your Abraham, and he also promised to be God of Israel, Isaac. And when he appeared to Jacob, he said that I am God of your forefathers, Abraham and Isaac. And when the Bible recounts this history, God also appears to Moses, I am God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he also promised to be God of Moses. And God gives 10 commandments. And about those 10 commandments we sang about in the song before this service, but I'm not going to address those. I'm going to speak about the most important commandment, but the first commandment. It's not a command, it's the promise. It is said that I am the Lord, your God. There the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob promises to be even our God. And what does it mean that God promises to be our God? Martin Luther explains, we can accept from him everything good, and we can trust him in our struggles. So this is the way how Elijah reminded those people at that time that God had promised to be their God. He then continues, answer me, Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Turn their hearts back again. Here it's revealed that we have no strength to turn to God, to turn our hearts towards God. Only God can affect this. That was even that time of Elijah, and this is even today. Elijah prayed that God would turn the hearts of that nation towards God. This is even today as we pray for those dear ones who don't have this gift of faith in their hearts. We pray that God would turn their hearts so that they would receive the gospel, so that they would believe their sins and unbelief forgiven. If there are someone listening, you dear one, who feel that you don't own this great treasure in your heart, you don't own peace of God and forgiveness of sins, I wanna embolden you to believe your unbelief and your sins in the name of your Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in his name and blood. You can also believe that he is your Redeemer. He has atoned even your sins. This passage ends about how fire of God struck on the offering. Paul was a dead God. Fire don't strike on the altar of Baal, but the fire strikes the, and the fire burned up the sacrifice, the wood, stone, and soil, and also licked the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. So, how this Elijah, whose name even proclaimed that his God is the Lord, now this Lord was able to be the God of many people of multitude, so they could believe that God was the Lord was their God. Dear brothers and sisters, we can even today believe like the nation of Israel believed 3,000 years ago. We can believe that God is. We can believe that God is our God. Lord is our God. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. We can take everything good in our lives as His gifts, and even in our trials, we can trust in Him. We have good God who has prepared for us a complete salvation, complete forgiveness of our sins, and acceptance into eternal life. So, even at time, uplift your heart to believe. Believe God, the good things about God. You can believe all your sins in the name of your own Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We can safely believe that our sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. I want to also ask that, can I believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.